Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to share your wonderful word today. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What comes to your mind when you think about Thanksgiving Day? Anyone? Turkey. Yeah, that's right. Turkey. It is the centerpiece of our celebration, isn't it? A turkey. Everybody's trying to get turkey recipes on how to make it. Don't throw a frozen turkey in an oil cooker, or you'll have surprise. So it's a time when our family and friends gather together. We offer a prayer of gratitude to God for all his blessings before enjoying the food and fellowship. Reminds us that this year is coming to a close. We're this close to another year. Didn't it seem like this year went faster than last year? Boy, it sure did to me. Really went fast. So we gather with our friends and family for time of food and fellowship. What comes after dessert? Anyone? For some, a nap? What else? Football, if you're a football fan. What else? Oh, nobody heard that. Okay, some's playing for Christmas shopping. Thanksgiving comes to an end, but our gratitude should never come to an end. It should continue throughout our daily life. An attitude of gratitude. Gratitude to God not only honors him, but it's good for us. I read it in Psalms 92, verse 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. I remember a message. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Brother Hagee said, there's no high like the Most High. He was really actually addressing the drug addicts. He said, and if you want to go high, there ain't no high like the Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness only on Sundays. Are you there? What does it say? To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness when I think about it. What's your Bible say? Every night. Every night. Thanksgiving every day. That's what it is. It's Thanksgiving every day. In the Old Testament, our Lord used the sacrificial system to teach his people to be grateful. He established the Hebrews as his nation. He gave them very specific and detailed instructions concerning his laws and sacrifices and feasts. Why? So they'd know how he wanted them to live. It was through these ordinances he taught them three things. Number one, God is holy. Number two, man is sinful. And number three, obedience is essential. God is holy, man is sinful, and obedience is essential. That's essential. Obedience. Jesus was the final sacrifice. Jesus was the final sacrifice. Because of his sacrifice, we are no longer required to offer animal sacrifices. And those principles that he taught are still true, and they still apply for us today. One of the offerings he prescribed was called a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and it was performed every morning and evening. Now you can turn with me to Leviticus. That's all the way up there to the front of the book, all the way to the front of the Bible. It's taking me a while to get there. Numbers, Leviticus. There it is, Leviticus. Leviticus 22, verse 29 through 33. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Now that has a lot to do with the will that God gave you. It should be voluntary. You shouldn't be forced to do it. God don't want you to force yourself to do these things. He gave you a free will. You need to want to do those things to please him. On the same day, and that's where we get the daily, On the same day it shall be eaten up. You shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Now, it's interesting. He had a similar thing to say about manna. How much manna were they supposed to gather? Do you remember? Enough for one day. Isn't that interesting? We serve the Lord on a daily basis. We give the Lord, ask the Lord for our daily bread. Give us, Lord, our what? Our daily bread. Not weekly, not just Sundays, our daily bread. Therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallows you, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Wow, boy, that would preach. Man, I'm just looking how many times he said that. He said it in all those verses except verse 29. I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. I guess he wants us to know that he's the Lord. I am the Lord. And there should be no one else, no other gods before thee. I am the Lord. He and only he we should serve. Twice daily offering reminded the Hebrews the Lord was the one who brought them out of Egypt and gave birth to them as the nation. He alone saved, kept, and provided for them, just as he does for you and me today. So should we do less than the Hebrews did? Absolutely not. We should give thanks to him every morning, every evening, to recognize him as our source of everything we have. One of his most precious provisions is his written word. Aren't you glad you have his word in your lap today? You're holding his word. Do you notice some people don't have it? And they're so anxious to get it. When the missionaries go to the foreign field and pass out Bibles, there's so many times they run out of them. And there's still people with their hands out. Some of you have four or five copies of God's word in your home. They don't even have one. They just want one copy. You have several Bibles in your house, don't you? Yes, you do. They just want one copy. They'd like to have one. What did I say? One word to characterize America? What was the word? Plenty. Remember that. Because it may not always be plenty. But I'm thankful that today it's plenty. I'm trusting that tomorrow will be plenty. Our gratitude certainly can be gauged by our attention to God's word. If we are truly thankful for his word, we'll diligently read it each and every day. How can we follow the example taught by the daily sacrifice of thanksgiving? Well, we can begin by taking note of some simple blessings that God has provided for you each day. Such as having a car to drive to church this morning, receiving an income from employment. I know I had jobs I hated, and I often wondered, man, I wonder if I'd be stuck with having this job that I absolutely hated. I had jobs I hated, but I did them, helped pay the bills, but I just hated doing it. And I said one day, Lord, I said, dude, do you think it's possible to actually have a job that I enjoy doing? And you know what? Here I am. I can't think of anything I would enjoy more than what I'm doing. I love God's word. I love studying. I've studied more with God's word than I've ever done in my life. And I'm grateful that I have the time to do that, that I can study it. I love preparing messages. I love studying. Just love it. And I'm so thankful and so humbled today to be able to do what I enjoy doing. I'm thankful I have a family. I'm thankful I have a home. In our Sunday school lesson today, the Lord didn't expect them to sell the homes they lived in. If you're looking at the scripture closely, you'll see those that were possessors of lands, plural, or houses, plural, sold them. Yes, even in those days, there were people that were big landowners. They had lots of land. And they had more houses than they could live in. For them, they could sell some of their land. They could sell one of their houses. And that's what the Sunday school lesson was about. For those, they could do that. They were in a position to do that. Not everybody's in a position to do that, but they were. And those that were knew why they were selling it. They were going to give it all and lay it at the apostles' feet. Why? For the distribution for the poor. But Ananias and Sapphira, they thought they could make everybody think that they were just like those people, that they could just do what they want to do with the money and make it look like they really gave all their money, but they didn't. They lied. They kept a part of it back, and they lied. So for them, their Thanksgiving was over. They died right in the spot that carried them out. The husband died. As soon as he mentioned it to Peter, what he did, he died right in the spot, fell over with a heart attack. Don't know what he died of, but he died right in the spot. Obviously, his heart stopped beating. 3 hours later, Sapphira comes in, lies, and says the same thing because they agreed together about the price. So she said the same thing the husband did, and she fell flat. Boom, that was it. We don't know when our last breath is. So we should take note of the simple blessings in life. We certainly have reasons to be thankful. So many times we take these for granted. They're all provided for us by our loving Heavenly Father. Having a grateful heart keeps our minds focused on the Lord. Having a grateful heart. The daily Thanksgiving sacrifice was a continual reminder to the Hebrews that their God had provided for their needs. And so each morning was an opportunity to thank the Lord. You thank the Lord for a good night's sleep? I've never taken a sleep aid that I can remember. I've never taken a sleep aid. I don't have trouble sleeping. Once in a while, it's very rare, once in a while. But it's not very often. And even if you tossed all night and didn't have a very good night, you can still be grateful that God allowed you to see another day. We have so many conveniences. You're thinking about the beds. I remember going somewhere like a tour. We toured an old house. I think it was in Gettysburg. We toured an old house, and we was able to see the old furniture, and I recognized some of the old furniture because my grandpa had furniture like that. When we went upstairs to see the bed, I don't remember of a mattress like that, but maybe you do. It was just basically a blanket stuffed with straw. Boy, wouldn't that have been comfortable? The material was very thin, so some of that scratchy straw would get through the material. Wow. Whoa. Today we have Sleep Number bed. You just put the number on and man, you're out. You're done. You're out. Can you imagine the conveniences that we have today, folks? What's the one word to describe us? Plenty. Plenty. I'm trying to drive that home to you because we really have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. I know this has been a challenging year, but we still have a lot to be thankful for. And I like Wayne's testimony. President's not in charge. He is. He is. This world's not my home. Just passing through. When we acknowledge that the Lord is the source of all of our blessings, we exalt him and we declare our dependence on him. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 23. I'll read it for you. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. God inhabits the praises of his people. You want God to be here? You want his presence to be here? Praise him. Praise him. He inhabits the praise of his people. Not everybody's comfortable with putting your hands up. I was raised in a church. We did this all the time. If somebody sticks a gun in your back, what's the first thing you do? Put your hands in your pocket? What do you do? What's that mean? What's it mean? I didn't hear it. Surrender. When are you going to surrender to him? When are you going to surrender to him? He's been waiting a long time. What's taking you so long to surrender to him? That's how it was said to me. The raising of the hand is a surrender. When are you going to surrender to him? I surrender to you, Lord. Here I am. I'm yours. Take me and use me. Too many of us just want this thing. Here I am, Lord. Send Aaron. Hello. You know what keeps you from doing this? Starts with a P and it's not plenty. There we go. There it is. I'm afraid what people might think, but you better be more afraid about what God thinks of you. Hello. You still with me? Say amen or oh me. Thankfulness is expressed in a variety of ways. Sometimes we gather to worship, as we've done here this morning, in fellowship and sing praises to him that we're told gives glory and honor to him. We can worship the Lord when we're home and all alone. We can even let everyday activities, even though they may be very simple, we can use them as reasons to thank him. Another way to acknowledge the Lord as our provider is to express our gratitude and give him the first part of our income. Now, you haven't heard this preacher talk about tithing or offerings. I don't think I've ever had a message on it. 30 years I've been here and I never had a message on it. What is a tithe? Does anybody know what a tithe is? What percent? If you make 50 bucks, what do you owe the Lord? If you make 100 bucks, what do you owe the Lord? Okay, you got it figured out. God asks very little. He asks very little of us. Very little in a monetary way, very little for what he allows us to keep. Are you listening to me? You make sure you give God his part. You don't understand, Pastor. I have it rough. I'll tell you who had it rough. One day the Lord sat over by the treasury. He watched as people put their money in. A little old lady came up and she put a mite in. A mite's like a quarter of what our penny's worth. A mite. That was like hardly anything. But you know what the Lord said of her? She put more in than any of them put in that day. What? She put in of her want. She couldn't hardly bear a mite. She could barely part with it. She was poor. But she still gave what she could. And the Lord said, she gave more than all of you gave today. It's not the amount. It's the sacrifice you make. Some people bring ham. Some people bring eggs. Which one sacrificed? There was a sacrifice with the ham, wasn't there? A pig had to give his life up. That's a sacrifice. How many of you sacrificed today? Not many. We don't sacrifice much today. We just... You better give the first part. The tenth is the first part. Don't make the habit of giving God the last part. Paying all your bills and if there's any left over, give it to God. No, that's not the way you do it. When does God get his? First. Don't forget it. He gets first. Abraham tithed of all he had. He tithed of all he had. I remember someone asked me many years ago, Pastor, should I tithe on my gross or my net? And the Lord gave me what I needed. I don't always have the answers, but the Lord, I thought, gave me the right thing to say. Do you want net blessings or gross blessings? Pretty simple. You want net blessings or gross blessings? That'll depend on how you tithe. Pretty simple, isn't it? And if you learn to do that, you'll never be in want. It says in the scriptures, it said, I wrote it in here, that none of them had lacked any. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Verse 34. There was none of them that lacked, and every man was given according as he had need. Okay. The scripture describes many blessings and privileges that results from our salvation, and it should invoke gratitude in our hearts. Here's a list. God chose us from before the foundation of the world because you were special, and he chose you. And God, by the way, loves everybody. He loves everybody. Even those Ninevites in our Bible study that Jonah hated, he just hated them people. But God loved them. He loved them. And he wanted to give them a chance for repentance, and they did repent. But boy, it burnt Jonah up. He actually made himself a little hut not far from the city, waiting to see it burn. He was hoping that God would send brimstone on it, on the city. And he hung around just to see if it would happen. Shame on you, Jonah. Shame on you. God loved them people, and they repented, and it upset Jonah. God loves everybody. He's not willing that any should perish. We're indwelt and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are eternally secure. We've been given gifts of the Spirit. We have an intimate relationship with the Lord. We have the peace of God in our hearts. The Lord loves us unconditionally. We're never distant from the presence of God. The Lord provides for our needs. We have his divine protection each and every day. We have the promise of a bodily resurrection. We have the blessings of God's atonement through Christ and total forgiveness of our sins. We have an eternal home in heaven and the promise of the resurrection. We've been given the Word of God, the source of all knowledge and understanding. You see, true heartfelt daily thanksgiving has a very powerful impact on our lives. And it will give us a mindset that we should desire to obey the Lord. And gratitude, I'm finishing with this, keeps us continually aware that we are walking in God's presence and that contributes to a godly lifestyle. Gratitude motivates us to look for the Lord's purposes in everything in our lives. Even if we don't understand what he is doing, but we thank him and it lifts our burden. Gratitude helps us bring our will into submission to his when we suffer pain or loss. By thanking him in the midst of our pain, we acknowledge his loving sovereignty. Gratitude continually reminds us that he is our God and motivates us to tell others about him. Gratitude reminds us of our continuing dependence on him. Gratitude helps us trust the Lord. Because he alone knows what's best. We can thank him even if we don't understand why something is happening. God honors our thanksgiving the most when we feel like we have the least reason for gratitude. You ever get times like that? Think about that. He honors our thanksgiving the most when we feel like we have the least reason for gratitude. Gratitude is essential for rejoicing in the midst of suffering. When the bottom drops out of our lives and everything looks dark, songs of praise and thanksgiving restore our hope and assures us that God is a light even in our darkness. Gratitude removes anxiety. Gratitude can drive out worry. Gratitude keeps our focus on the Lord. The situation may not change, but our attitude will. And lastly, gratitude energizes us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Every eye closed. It's time to close the message today. How can you make gratitude a daily practice in your life? What effect does thankfulness have on your thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions? And what keeps you from thanking God in the midst of hardship or pain? What can you do to increase your trust in Him so that gratitude will always be your first response? Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, blessed opportunity to share your precious word today. In a time of perilous times, it seems, even in the midst of it, we want to thank and praise you because, you, Lord, you're in charge. No one else is. You have everything under control. And I'm so glad that you love me and you cared for me and you died for me. I'm so thankful today that I'm forgiven of my sins. I'm grateful today to be able to share your word with all these people today. Thank you so much for all that you've done. Father, be with each and every one. Be with them this week as they gather together and they celebrate a day of thanksgiving. Might it be a safe and restful day for them. We're grateful, Father, for all you've done for us. And may we not ever take these things for granted. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.